When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Run like a wild man.
I watched you struggle and I watched you wrestle with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
It's Monday night, October the 3rd, and Brian Harsin is still the football coach of the Auburn Tigers. The correct Jordan-Hare Stadium time is 9:18 p.m. Your digital audio device is tuned into the Orange and True podcast, harbored by the friendly folks at collegeofmagnolia.com. Greetings and citations, Orange and True Thursday, and it's I, at CenterCrow2 on Venmo, at CenterCrow on Twitter. Sorry, opposite, at CenterCrow2 on Twitter, at CenterCrow on Venmo. Please do not Venmo at CenterCrow2. I don't know who that is. But I'm assuming you've been Venmoing him. So you should stop those payments and instead send your monthly per diem, not per diem, your monthly per whatever Latin for month is to me. The one side of me, the rumormonger at Ryan S. Starrett. The S stands for still Auburn's coach another week.
S stands for salivating over the cooking of one Zach Rowe. That was amazing. Jambalaya, the shrimp etouffee.
Yeah, shout out.
We ate good and the game didn't really matter.
Shout out to all of that. I wish I was there. Instead, I was elsewhere. So.
Yeah, but the plus side is you didn't have to deal with Auburn football.
No, actually, I watched one play of this game. You want to know what play it was?
So was it the Javarius Johnson touchdown?
No,
the fun one.
No. So I'm at this retreat elsewhere in the piney woods of East Texas, and one of my friends has full service. I have somehow no service. And he goes, hey, Auburn is winning. Auburn's losing, but they have the ball and they're driving. And I go, oh, okay, cool. And he hands me the ball, hands me the phone, and Auburn throws the interception. And that was the end. That was the end of the, I go, here you go. You can have this right on back. I don't need to see this any longer. I know how this movie ends. To the other side of me, give me the full Fort Payne ASMR. That you pay extra for is the AU chief.
Who do you think would win in a wrestling match, Lemmy or God?
Yeah, that's a good one, Ryan. I'll Venmo you $5 if you can tell me who Lemmy is.
Oh, I mean, I know who God is, but
sure, I appreciate that.
I have nothing on who Lemmy is. Talk about Martin Lemke.
No.
I'm a great baseball player.
Yeah,
I just love Mark Lemke.
Atlanta radio host, Mark Lemke.
Atlanta radio host, though.
Jesus, Ryan.
Lemmy is a English musician. He was one member of. Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right. Was the late Lemmy, Ian Fraser Kilmister. Am I right? Or Kilmeister?
Yeah,
Kilmeister. He was a great name. That's a Marvel villain, isn't it?
Motorhead.
Yes. He was Motorhead.
Yeah.
You ever heard a Motorhead song, Ryan?
You've heard.
Why don't you go ahead and tell me anyway, Chief?
You probably have. He did a lot of commercials in the.
You know a Motorhead
about
song.
10 years ago.
If you don't, that's
you've heard Ace of Spades.
Yeah,
I'm sure I have.
This is one of those. He's saying this like, please stop talking about Motorhead. But you should listen to Eat the Rich by Motorhead tonight as you lie in your bed.
Lemmy was a weird dude. He most of his songs are basically how he was going to live life to the fullest and drink and drug himself to death. And that's what he did.
So yeah, he did. He told you what was going to happen.
And he's one of the like nicest people in rock and roll, apparently, but and definitely like many people have assured that he was not a Nazi, but he was real into Nazi paraphernalia.
Yeah.
For the history, right?
Anytime you have to assure people that you're not a Nazi. All right. Do you guys want to start out with my game, or do you want to actually recap the LSU game?
Sure. I mean, the LSU game was
wasn't a yes or no question, Chief.
Was I mean, there's not a lot to say about it. The first quarter was
did anybody fun think
and perplexing
as fun as it was going up 17-0? Did anybody think we were coming away with a win?
No, I never did. Not at all.
Yeah,
that is. I mean, it's got to that point.
It made it really tough to enjoy. Like, I was sitting there trying to, I was still yelling for the defense and everything, but I, like, the entire time in my mind, I'm like, what's the point, man? This is just not going to happen. And it didn't, unfortunately.
It was a more enjoyable game than the Missouri game. I mean,
across
that bar, right? Like, we saw a quarterback throw for 300 yards, which hasn't happened in, since Bo's last game, but.
17 points is more points than I expected Auburn to score.
Yep.
Yeah, I said Auburn's not going to score 14, so if LSU scored more than 14, they would win, and I was almost right and scored 17. But.
Yeah. Well, you guys, I want to just wash that taste out of my mouth and play a fun game, an Auburn football history fun game. This is a fun game that you can play at home, because I'm going to give you a little bit of pause between each question. You have to, we're on the honor system here, so you cannot look up the answers on sportsreference.com/CFB/players.
Do I get to complain about how hard the game is?
No, because the game is not going to be that hard.
Okay.
I'm going to give you an Auburn player, and I'm going to tell you what statistic I'm talking about. And they're going to be counting stats, not advanced stats. And then I'm going to ask you, is his career high in one game over or under? And I'm going to give you a number. You are going to tell me over or under. And then for a bonus point, you're going to tell me what the actual total should be. So, for example, if I said Trey Mason, over or under career best game, 200 yards. Ryan would say over. Yeah. And then he would say 300 yards. Great. Right. And for a double bonus point, I'll actually give you another point if you can tell me what game his career high is.
The 2013 SEC Championship game.
So in this case, it'd be 2013 SEC Championship game. Correct. All right. So let's go.
So is this a, like, are we both answering at the same time? Or are you?
You're both. I'm gonna go. Chief is gonna give me an answer, and then I'm gonna ask Ryan to give me an answer, and then I will tell you the correct answer.
All right.
Yeah.
And at home, James Jones is going to give himself an answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's going to laugh at both of you.
On the Orange and True after show, you can listen to his thoughts.
Yeah. Part of the Orange and True universe. Brad Lester. Auburn running back. Career best rushing in one game. Over under 99 yards.
Under.
Chief. He says under. Can I get a number?
98.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe it is under, because I think that's a thing that he never had 100 yards in a game.
Okay.
Go ahead, Ryan.
It's not like a who's closer, right? It's just if you get it right, you get a point.
Sure.
Sure. Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, I'll say 93.
Great. Chief is dead on. Yeah. Okay. It is 98. The 2007 Auburn, Alabama, the Iron Bowl.
The 07 Iron Bowl.
He had 98 yards. Mm-hmm. He had a game in which he had 94 yards against Florida in 06. And a game he had 91 yards against Ball State in 05.
He was a touchdown machine there for a little while, though.
He also had a 96-yard game in 07 against Ole Miss, but never crossed the 100-yard mark. He actually did not score a single touchdown rushing in this game against in the Iron Bowl.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So that's 2 points for Chief, 1 point for Ryan. So it's 2-1 going into round two. If you're at home, you have to keep your own score. It's not an interactive show. Okay. Next, one Benjamin Franklin Tate, Brad Lester's teammate on the 07 and 08 Auburn teams. Ben Tate's over-under I am setting at 180 yards. 180 yards. Chief.
You used to go first again?
Age before. Okay, you know what? Right, Ryan. Yeah, Ryan, you go first this
time. I actually don't know this because I feel like you're teasing me with that high number right there. Because I was going to say it was in the 150s.
That's a lot of yards.
Yeah, that's a lot. But like an 09 team, I mean, he was bringing up most of the yards. So I'm going to say
the only under thing again. On the 08 team as well. Huh? He was the only thing on that 08 offense as well.
I'm going to go with under.
Okay. And you have a number?
162.
Okay.
I'm going to go with
over. Think out loud, Chief.
I'm going to go with over. Gamble. I got house money here. What was the number?
180 was the number I gave you.
185.
Chief with 2 points again. Yeah. 184 is the number of yards. Ben Tate ran all. That's only one. Sorry, okay. Okay. He's not exactly right. He's not exactly right. You're right. So 1 point for Ben, for Chief.
A fight for my score here.
Yeah.
Can I get one and a half?
I mean, you're one yard off. The very Brad Lester problem. He at Arkansas went off. For 184 yards and two touchdowns.
I heard that. That's what I was remembering.
In that 09 team, I don't think I remember that he had a 117-yard game, a 157-yard game, a 128-yard game, a 184. He went 128, 184, 132 back-to-back-to-back. And then had a 144 later in the year and then finished off with 100 yards against Northwestern. Like he had a monster year.
So I think what happens with that is because Chris Todd just looked like a capable quarterback on that team.
Right.
Phil, and he set a bunch of records. I mean, he did. But we forget that Gus was still the coach of that team. So we were running the ball. He had
seven games.
Fairly competent offensive line, too.
Yeah.
He had seven games of over 105 yards rushing.
He went nuts that year, yeah.
Yeah. He only had two games over 100 yards in any year prior. Three in the three prior years, and then seven in 2009 with Gus Malzahn. All right. Next, Cameron Artis Payne. Cameron Art is Payne, and I'm setting the over under at 150. Wait, sorry, I'm in the wrong year here.
I was going to say, don't give us the exact number.
I'm setting the over under for 154.
Is a Panthers great, isn't it, Chief?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. That's right.
Cameron Artis Payne, 154 over under, Chief.
I'm going to go under on this one.
Okay.
And it's 151.
All right, Ryan.
So in 2014, he's the lead back, right? After the three carries for 60 yards in the SEC championship game.
Correct.
Devastating cut I've ever seen. I feel like he had to have a game in there. Maybe the South Carolina game. That one got kind of bonkers. I'm going to go over. I want to say he got up into the 170s, so 177.
He did actually have a game of 177, but that's not his career high. His career high is 221 yards against the Texas A&M Fighting Aggies in a loss in 2014. Guys,
but it was the 1 yard that mattered.
In 2014, Cameron Artis Payne ripped off a 177-yard game to open the season. against Arkansas, 112 against San Jose State, a buck 16 against La Tech, a buck 26 against LSU, 167 in that South Carolina game, Ryan was remembering, 138 against Ole Miss, 221 in back-to-back-to-back games against Texas A&M, 129 against Samford, and then finished the year off in a loss to Wisconsin with 126. Cameron Arch Payne was a man in 2014.
It is. This is also making me very depressed. Because
that's 9 games of 120 yards or more.
I mean, but this is a span of – this is how we used to run. We used to have guys run for this like this all the time. And now, I mean, for the last several years, we have not.
That's part of the reason I'm doing this game, I think, a little bit, is to remind you that at some point there were guys – with 9 games of over 100 yards rushing.
Yeah. And it wasn't like
Cam Arch Payne. This is not a guy that everybody was like, he's one of the all-time great Auburn backs. Right. Maybe we should think that.
He was one of the most productive, though. I mean,
yeah.
But these weren't like ground-and-pound teams either. Like, we weren't like handing the ball off these guys 1,000 times a game, you know, and that's all we were doing. Like, we were scoring points.
But you had – it's the benefit of Nick Marshall, right? I mean, you have a running threat at quarterback that opens up so much for your running backs. And again, NFL talent on your line.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something to a running back wearing 44.
Now, what is the score here? Let's see. Ryan got a point there. So that's 3-2, Chief. Number next.
3-2 on our hands.
This one, I'm only counting his numbers as an Auburn Tiger.
Mm.
Okay.
Okay.
This is the worm himself, Sean Shivers.
Okay.
As an Auburn Tiger, and I am setting the over-under at 91 yards rushing.
Are you telling us he had more than that?
Over-under.
As a Hoosier?
He did have more than that as a
Hoosier. Yes, yeah, his first game, didn't he?
His second game against Idaho. He had 155 against Idaho this year.
Okay. Attaboy, sticking it to the state of Idaho for us.
He had 28 against Illinois in his first game, but he had the game-winning touchdown.
This is me.
Over under 91, Ryan.
All right, so Shivers. Trying to go back and think because his freshman year was part of that group of like 5 running backs who just were not great. I mean, he had Booby, but, you know, Booby was Booby. But he never saw a ton of carries. And then, I'm trying to think, 19 Iron Bowl, obviously, but I don't think he had, that might have only been like 2 or 3 carries in that game. And then I know he didn't get a ton of looks under person. You said 91 is the number?
91 is the number.
I'm going to go under.
Okay. And
say like 73.
All right, Ryan. Chief?
I'm going to go over.
Okay.
I'm going to say 93.
All right, Chief gets 1 point here because Sean Shivers has 2 more games than Brad Lester over 100 yards rushing as an Auburn Tiger. In his freshman season, he put up 117 yards on 13 carries, an average of 9 yards a carry against the Alabama State.
I was thinking you weren't factoring in some of those.
And then his sophomore year on 12 carries, he put up 102 against Kent State Flashes. No touchdowns somehow. And you know what's funny? He had more yards and more carries under Gus in 2019 than he did under Harsin in 2021. As a sophomore versus a senior, because he technically was a freshman in 18.
Yeah. How many yards did he have in the 18 Iron Bowl?
In the Iron Bowl,
his freshman year, 2018.
In 18, we lost to Alabama. Right. He had 10 carries for 27 yards.
And I want to say, didn't he have like a 60 or 70 yard touchdown callback?
I think I might be right. In the 19 Iron Bowl that everyone remembers because he knocked off a helmet, he had one carry for 11 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah. All right. So we are what, four to two now going
four into to two. Time? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Two more.
Oh, two more. All right.
Yeah. One is then these are different. This next one is a receiver.
Oh boy.
So I'm going to ask you for his total receiving.
It's an Auburn receiver. I'm going to say under.
Yeah. So his name is Quan Bray.
Uh-huh. Okay.
A fan favorite.
Number four.
Mm-hmm. And the over-under. He played, Ryan, if you don't remember, from 2011 to 2014. So you overlapped for at least, I don't know, your fifth and sixth grade year. and is his
own softball with my sister.
Nice. It is a fun fact. Over under 50 yards receiving for one Quan Bray his Auburn career in one game.
It's me or Chief on this one first.
And this will be Chief first. 50 yards receiving for Quan Bray.
50 yards.
He was much more known as a returner.
Right. I'm going to go over. And I'm going to say he had like 60 yards on like three catches at some point.
Okay.
So you said 11 to 14. I mean, that's 2 years that I'm pretty confident, not a ton of receiving yards.
But 2 years in which very prolific offense.
Right. Notably, I actually wanted him to be the return man on the kick six before they put Chris Davis back there.
Good thing you're not the coach.
I was calling for them to put a return guy back there, but I just got the wrong one.
In the 13 Iron Bowl, he had one return for 21 yards. Just yeah. Letting you know, he did return in that game.
Yeah, that's a good average, 21. When Gus got pass heavy with Nick Marshall in 14, Bray started most of those games. He wasn't the main target because you had Sammy Coates and Ricardo Lewis and CJ Uzomah getting most of the looks. I'm going to game through this a little bit because I'm getting beat 4-2. I'm going to say under and say 48.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Yeah. Chief wins this one because Quan Bray had three catches for 91 yards.
Oh, 91. Jesus.
Two touchdowns against Louisiana Tech in a game in which he also returned two punts for 98 yards and a touchdown. 2014 La Tech was the Quan Bray show. Yeah.
Man,
that was the Jeremy Johnson game as well, wasn't it? Yeah, wouldn't Nick Marshall hurt for this one?
Maybe, but he also, Ryan, had 65 yards in the 2014 A&M game, 56 yards against Samford, 74 yards in the greatest loss in Auburn history, the 2014 Iron Bowl. He had four catches for 74 yards and a touchdown in that game. Five catches for 63 against Wisconsin in that loss. He could have been a more prolific receiver than he was. Because even like in 13 against Mississippi State, he had 80 yards on three catches. Yeah.
No, he was great at getting the ball in space and taking those quick screens, finding some seams upfield. Just great with the ball in his hands. That's why he was a good punt returner as well.
All right, now, this round, what's the score, 5-2?
It's 5-2, so it's already over.
No, this one's worth two.
All right.
Or no, this is Final Jeopardy, so you can write in how much you want to, how many points you want to.
Only got two options here.
Yeah. This is Barrett Trotter.
Oh boy.
Okay.
Oh boy.
We're gonna keep it easy.
2011. All right.
Is passing doing, stats.
Oh, I thought we were gonna do rushing stats.
That would be. That'd be, you take the under would be the goal.
I mean, I was gonna say zero.
No, he had a game.
Sack yards.
I'm looking at Barrett Trotter. He had in 2010, he had 37 yards rushing on two carries against South Carolina in the SEC championship game.
Yeah, good room.
Yeah,
which I don't remember that.
I thought Neil Cottle
could move was around. He played in the.
No, Tim was all about
anyway.
Barrett Trotter. All right. The over-under passing yards in a game for one Barrett Trotter, 275 yards passing.
Passing yards.
Yeah, passing.
This is me first.
This is a game we would die for a day.
Yeah.
Nowadays, 275 yards in the air.
The lasting memory of 2011 for me, which is when it would have to be, I think, is the Florida game. And that is just, until recent years, got to be one of the worst games I've seen in person, of just, like, bad football.
It was one of the worst quarterbacking I've ever seen.
Yeah, I think six or seven players attempted a pass in that game. All quarterbacks. But... we rewind a little bit. The first two games of the year, Utah State and Mississippi State, were shootouts. So yep. I'm going to go over 275 and say 294.
Okay. Chief?
So
this one, Ryan could, I don't know, win if he gets this right? I don't know.
I think it's over as well. He had Emory Blake.
Ooh.
With his receiver, right?
And D'Angelo Benton.
Yeah.
And a freshman Quambray.
And freshman Quambray.
D'Angelo Benton was my guy. I thought he was about to be like the next thing and all.
There were so many athletes at receivers on that, like, 11 team, because you had Ricardo Lewis, Quambray, Ron Reed was on that team.
Sammy a freshman, or was that
Sammy? I think
year?
12 was his freshman.
Okay.
D'Angelo Benton, by the way, scored one touchdown as an Auburn Tiger, and it was against Florida in that game.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
He also had Philip Lutzenkirchen.
He did.
I'm gonna go with over. Like I think I already said that.
Okay. You both go with the over. Give me a number, Chief, to see who's closer.
No, I'm going to go nuts. 325.
Well, you're both wrong. It was actually the under.
Under. Okay.
But it was close. 261 is Barrett Trotter's all-time best game.
Was it the Mississippi State game?
No, that was a .146.
Oh,
so
did he score like 40 something points
against Mississippi State. He was.
What am I thinking? It doesn't matter how good the players were. Scott Leffler wasn't here.
No, 11 was Gus here.
11 was Gus. 11 is bleak. I think it's bleaker than we gave it credit for at quarterback, because his best game was 261 against Utah State, first game of the year.
Opener. Okay.
And he was incredible. He was 17 for 23 for 261 and three touchdowns, no picks. I mean, that's great.
Yeah.
That's 73 yards. That's 74% completion, three touchdowns. Great game.
With Trotter, I don't remember him being – like, he wasn't like a turnover machine. And
I would bite your hands off for 74% completion percentage.
Well, I would have bitten your hands off the next year for better Barrett Trotter. And they, that's like, true. They didn't ask him back. Like, apparently – I don't know if the story has changed, but like Gene didn't even like talk to him after it. It was like they moved on to Kyle Frazier.
It went downhill from that game because it was 146 against Mississippi State, and two touchdowns and a pick. 198 yards against Clemson. One touchdown, one pick. 178 against Florida Atlantic. Two touchdowns, one pick. 112 against South Carolina. One touchdown, two picks.
Okay, so he was a turnover machine.
Arkansas, 80. Arkansas, he went 6 for 19 for 81 yards and a pick. Florida, he went 2 for 8 for 33 yards and one 25-yard touchdown to D'Angelo Benton.
Yeah, that Florida game was just horrible.
Bro, I'll read you those stats. I have them in front of me. And then he played in that Virginia game. He went 11 for 18 for 175 yards and a touchdown.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was good in that game.
That's he was good. Game. But against Florida.
I was at that game. It was fun.
Against Florida, Auburn put out. Barrett Trotter went 2 for 8 for 33 yards. Clint Mosley went 4 for 7 for 90. And Kyle Frazier went 1 for 1.
100% completion.
100% completion, my man. And that was all she wrote as far as the Kyle Frazier era. Yeah, Kyle Frazier, who then the next year was 7th in the league in picks.
In the SEC or the NCAA? In
the SEC.
I mean, 7th, that's average.
Yeah, but man didn't play that much.
Yeah.
Wait, he threw a lot of picks.
Yeah, that...
Listen to the guys who are ahead of him.
My Kyle Frazier story, sorry, I'll interrupt real quick, is that in 2013, you know, my freshman year, I'm walking through the Haley Center. Kyle Frazier has been moved to wide receiver and then eventually safety, I believe. And before the LSU game, I think it was, I hear him talking to another football player about him being all excited. He's going to lay somebody out this week. He never saw the field on defense, but yeah. I appreciate the hype, Kyle.
Kyle Frazier threw 8 picks in 2012. Ahead of him was Heisman Trophy winner Johnny Manziel with 9. Huh. Remember, Johnny threw a lot of passes.
Yeah. Johnny also threw about 100,000 like 30 touchdowns.
Yeah. Tyler Russell and Aaron Murray at Georgia had 10. Tyler Bray at Tennessee had 12. Tyler Wilson at Arkansas and Dr. Bo Wallace threw 17 picks.
Wow.
All those guys, though, threw the ball a ton.
Yeah.
Kyle Frazier did.
And threw a bunch of touchdowns. I bet their touchdown interception ratio was pretty good. You would probably love to have it.
Yeah, Kyle threw 2 touchdowns.
8 picks?
8 picks on 116 passes.
Yuck.
Not great.
Bob. I don't want to dogpile on that guy, but I was always really confused by people the year before that were like, we just really got to play him. It works every time we put him in there.
The worst part was they gave him the wrong helmet. When he moved to different positions, he got a different helmet and actually looked like he looked cool. But he was a quarterback that gave him like the dorkiest like quarterback helmet ever. And I was like, man, this is not going to work out. This guy's wearing this dorky helmet.
I hope that guy's doing
he had
well.
Dan Marino's helmet on. They didn't give him Cam something. They gave him a Dan Marino helmet. It's terrible.
He transferred into, I believe, NAIA.
And then Wichita.
And then like leading them on a playoff run.
Yeah.
It's NAIA, right?
He's absolutely right. I remember that.
Because they beat Harding. Church Christ School in the playoffs.
Yeah. Mm, okay. Oh, he went to Wichita Baptist.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah. in Arkadelphia, Arkansas. They went 10-1. Won the Great American Conference and went to the Division II playoffs. So.
All right. Well, good for him.
Yeah. All right. Let's preview this Georgia game.
Do I need to hit stop recording?
Let's take a quick commercial break, and then we'll talk a little bit Georgia Auburn football. And we're back. Now, this week, anything can happen, but probably not Auburn win.
I got a question.
Yeah, tell me about it.
All right, Ryan. This is for Ryan.
Do this to me.
Whose side did you take in the big David Lee Roth Van Halen split?
You're probably doing this.
This is a good question. He's right.
Whose side did you take, Halen or Roth?
You more Van Hagar, Chief, Brett, or Chief?
I'm not a big Van Hagar guy. Whose side did you take?
Of course not.
Halen or Roth?
Pick
one.
Van Hagar.
What do you want, Chief?
Pick one.
This is important.
Halen.
He's a cop.
He's a cop. Here's the deal. At the end of the day, David Lee Roth made that band. Well, Eddie Van Halen made that band, but
yeah. I mean, Eddie Van Halen did make the band, and David Lee Roth's a crazy person. So.
But Van Hagar was terrible.
I like a few Van Hagar songs. I don't know. They're different. It's a different band.
Very different, like, vibe.
It's
Auburn soccer tied Vanderbilt 1-1, lost to Ole Miss 0-1. God. Ooh. Having a rough go of it in SEC play. Actually, still looking for
that tie. Did you see what happened there?
No, I didn't.
It was a 1-0 lead until the closing seconds of the game.
Dad, come
within a minute, and I can't fully describe it. You need to see the video if you can find it. But essentially, it was kind of a scrum over the ball. In the Auburn box, Auburn girl goes down, but is kind of over the ball as she's down. There's players kicking at it, trying to get it out. Ends up being a penalty for Vanderbilt in the box. They score, tied up.
Wow. Just a junk goal.
Yeah.
Just a junk goal.
Have we allowed more than a goal in any game?
Yeah. No, not in SEC play, at least. No, we have not. We have yet to allow more than one goal, and we are – no, against Memphis, they scored twice.
That was exhibition.
Second game of the year. Oh, that was exhibition?
Yeah, friendly.
Oh, you're absolutely right. We are 4-3-5 overall, yet to allow more than one goal in a game that counts, and yet still searching for our first conference win. And we play – the Kentucky Lady Wildcats in Lexington at 6 p.m. Thursday night, October the 6th, on the SEC Network. And then we come back to the friendly confines of the Auburn Soccer Complex for 2 p.m. Sunday match against the hated Mississippi State Bulldogs. Hated for two of the members of this podcast, Mississippi State Bulldogs. And that's it, like I said, 2 p.m. And that is free. So stop on by the complex and let's root on the Lady Tigers.
We gotta get more goals. That's my game plan.
We need Erling Haaland.
Well, who doesn't?
That's how many goals a game would Erling Haaland score in the SEC women's?
He would score 9 goals a game.
That's it,
Ryan. He scored as a.
Is there a? Let me ask this: is there a mercy rule in women's college football? Because it might be a lot more than 9.
He scored when he was a child. He scored. He was playing for the Norway team and for the U-20 Norway. So he was 19, and they were in a World Cup match.
Wait, is this the story where like they won 12-0 or something like that?
They won 12-0 over he scored Honduras.
All the goals.
I didn't realize it was him.
He scored 9 of them. We were 9.
Yeah, 9. Vigo the Carpathian.
Yeah, he dropped 9 on Honduras by himself in the in the U-20 World Cup. So
that dude, is he going to be in the next Thor movie?
Well, no, he was already in Ghostbusters 2, man.
He's one of those guys when you watch play and you're like, you're talking about him, and one of your friends who doesn't watch soccer is like, who are you even talking about? You just go, I'm just not going to say anything. You just watch. You will see a kid on the field and go, holy cow, that guy's way too tall to be that fast. And that's him. He just looks like he's a different species. Anyway, we need one of those. We need
Cam was Norwegian, freak. Is what you're getting at.
Yeah. Exactly. If Cam was Norwegian, the Erling Haaland story. Let's talk about if less happy things than watching Erling Haaland beat Manchester United with 3 goals. 3 straight hat tricks. In the Premier League for Erling Haaland. Mm. Auburn's going to have to go play Georgia this week. It's on the schedule.
They don't have to.
They make us do it. They make them do it. If we don't play them, no one gets paid.
Look, there's an example being set by SMU right now. You don't have to play.
Well, I guess that's true. SMU's ponies are innovators.
What is going on there? I thought they were having a decent season.
They are having a decent season. I don't actually understand it. But apparently, according to some reports, there are SMU players who are redshirting, or like they're intentionally redshirting
by opting
out the rest of the year.
They're unionizing, basically.
Is this a clickbait thing where these are just dudes that haven't been playing anyway?
I think it's a couple guys who have played, but it's like five guys. It's like five players who have basically said, I'm out. And I'm transferring from SMU.
Wonder if they've been tapped up by other schools.
I don't know. If I was a kid who was not necessarily good enough to go play like a Texas or an A&M, there's no reason not to go to SMU. It's a great education. It's a great city. You get to live for free in the most expensive neighborhood in town.
Yeah.
Like what? It's a good spot to be a man who's 18 to 21 and not having to pay for anything.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. And yeah. Auburn doesn't have
a Trans Am too.
Might even get a Trans Am. Might even get some blondes in your Trans Am. There is no evidence that Auburn has any players doing this.
No. Is it luckily?
I mean,
yeah,
depending on the story you believe, there is one player who decided, I'm just going to get surgery and not play.
But he's not necessarily transferring away.
Sure.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Trans Ams.
Oh, man. Well,
sure. You don't want him driving a Trans Am?
Yeah, we want all of our guys to Trans Ams. They'd be very confused me handing this like 35-year-old car. Like, you guys see Smokey the Bandit? No? Well, here's the deal. You guys know who? Yeah. Yeah, they don't even know who these people are. All right. Ryan, as a Georgia resident, this game usually, you would say, means more to you than the Iron Bowl. Does it mean that it this should. Year?
Would you say it just means more?
It just means more.
It means very little, unfortunately. Yes, typically I do have this as my Super Bowl, the game circled on the calendar. You'd like to see us win this one the most, but I don't know, man. We might score a first quarter touchdown. So what?
I don't think anybody should take anything from the Missouri-Georgia game, specifically because that wasn't in Athens. But
the Kent State-Georgia game was in Athens.
Well, can you tell me the last time we scored a touchdown outside the first quarter in Athens, Georgia?
It's been a long time.
I believe it's been over 10 years. So, I have my doubts.
Yeah.
That,
I'm a little bit worried about that too.
Yeah. I have my doubts that, we'll score. Hey, but at least if we do score in the first quarter there, just like every other game.
Nothing wrong with that. I think, I don't know, man. I'm so checked out on this year, which stinks because.
Yeah, it does stink.
We've talked about this before. Like, the players don't deserve that.
Yeah, there's a lot of players on this team that I, like, really like.
Same.
Yeah, like, Derek Hall is to this team. Like, I was the biggest Ben Tate fan. And in 08, I was so bummed that Ben Tate was going through that.
Yeah.
And like now I kind of feel that way about Derek Hall. I'm like, I love Derek Hall and he's going through whatever, like this nonsense.
Jarquez Hunter is it for me on this team.
Like, yeah, man. Like, and Tank even. Like Tank Bigsby is sitting here going like, he could have transferred away. He didn't. Yeah. And instead is, I guess, I mean, you could say the good thing about Tank is he's not getting overly used.
Yeah, right.
Well, he's gonna have a lot of miles on him in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, there's guys all over the field, all over the roster that I really like that could be good pieces on a good team. I mean, it's not a top end talent issue necessarily. It's depth, it's utilization of talent, it's one specific gaping hole in the roster. Sucks. But
hey, I want to give a shout out to the offensive line in this game. They had a good game.
They did have a good game.
They were
and
Yeah, they were getting by their standards. They were really good. But yeah,
we were getting the defensive line was good too.
We were getting more push on LSU's defensive line than we did Missouri's. And while I think LSU probably stinks pretty bad, I have a hard time believing their defensive line is as bad as Missouri's was. And yet we were able to move them a little bit. I mean, especially early
on. We were pass blocking better. I don't know if we were really run blocking much better. I mean, for most of that, I think we finished with under 100 rushing yards.
We got several like fourth and ones though. Like,
I will
third and ones like real short, where we just had to move just an inch or two, which we haven't been doing.
If you can't run block, at least be able to pass block.
Yeah, and I mean, this is going to be one of those like statistical anomaly games, kind of like what we just did, Crow, where we're going to look back and see Robbie Ashford had how many passing yards?
Right.
337?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that I hope it's here. I really like Robbie Ashford as a quarterback.
I do too.
He needs some coaching.
He's got something.
He has a ton of raw talent. But I think there's just so much dysfunction on the offense right now. It's hard for any one person to shine. And I hate it because he would actually, if he had been the successor to Nick Marshall in the Auburn offense, 2014, 15, 16, I think
Gus would have tried to make him a pro style passer, and then he wouldn't be any good.
Yeah. No,
I mean that's what he tried to do to Nick the last year too.
And Nick Marshall was still a good passer.
Yeah. After that Mississippi State game, he stopped trying to make him something he wasn't, and then
he threw for how many yards in the Iron Bowl?
Right.
My point is, in that offense with a good offensive line, with still other things going for it. That is a system he would have excelled in. I'll leave it there.
Sure. If Gus didn't
nobody can excel in this system right now, and it's not fair to any one player to pin that on them.
Talk to my dad today. His theory is this team runs out of gas. And I pushed back on that. I was like, well, I don't think they're, defense was
if they were falling apart in the fourth quarter, maybe.
Well,
the second quarter.
Well, he thinks they just get tired and it like mentally breaks them down. The only thing I'd say about that is he outgained LSU in this game, right?
About 2.5 more yards per play than LSU did.
Yeah, it was just really weird coaching decisions. I still stand by the. I don't think those fourth and longs that we threw it. I don't think those were as terrible of a play call as some people think they were.
Well, I mean, one of them worked. I mean, and you could tell what both of those play calls were. It's a hey, try and draw a PI.
Yes,
and one of the times it worked. Right?
Okay, so it's one of three things happens there. You either complete the pass and it's awesome. You throw it and they intercept it. It's like it's better than a punt probably because you would have punted out of the back of the end zone from that area unless you got a great punter. Or they get defensive. Yeah, they hold
an incompletion. Really, I guess a sack is like the worst outcome there.
Yes, exactly. And they just clearly aren't going to trust. I mean, those were long field goals anyway. I'm like really.
Yeah, they were just over 50, I think.
I couldn't
hear you, but I'm pretty sure you're cheering for Fort Payne's own to be unleashed at that point in time. But
well, I just assume I'm pretty sure everybody in Fort. I think the all of Fort Payne is really angry that he has not played. I'm like, well, they're redshirting him. It's fine. I mean, it's clear. Like, why wouldn't you at least let him try a field goal here or there? Or kickoffs.
Have you seen the field goal that Anders missed? Or Crow, did you see it?
I didn't see it on TV.
From our seats, I thought he made it.
Everybody did, over there.
Yeah.
I'm not people were cheering, but I was sitting there watching the refs give the sick.
I'm curious how bad he missed it because I thought he made it.
Well, whatever. What we were talking about though earlier, the players, I just it sucks for him. It sucks that there's no way they don't know all the stuff that's going on. You know, it's hard to shut it all out. I mean, they're all online, you know, unless Harsin just weeded out every single person on that team that was online at any point. I don't think that's the case. We as fans get wrapped up in this, like we want people fired. We want this to happen, that to happen. And we don't really think as much about how this is a year of these guys' career, their lives, that they have very little control over, other than what they do on the field individually. And it sucks. Just sucks for everybody. Sucks for them more than it does us.
I
will say props to team and the fans. That, I mean, that was a good Auburn environment. No qualifiers. Like, that wasn't, oh, good for a bad team. Like, no, that was a good Auburn game night.
It wasn't.
They didn't peak like it was, you know, a top 10 matchup or anything. But there was good crowd engagement all the way into the fourth quarter. Even when everybody knew, man, we're not scoring again.
Yeah. Mm. Yep. So I hopefully the next home game will have a little more to cheer about, which is in 3 weeks, right? So
Halloween weekend.
Oh, 4 weeks. Shoot, that's 4 weeks. Good grief. Oh yeah, because we have two away games, then a bye. Yeah. Man, alive.
The anniversary of me getting in a car accident at the corner of Gay and Magnolia.
Halloween.
I got in a car accident. It was Ole Miss game. It was a home game. So I'm assuming that was 20. I'm assuming that was 06 or 07. And I was driving my car full of guys, friends of mine, home from a place, and stopped at a red light. At that red light at Gay and Magnolia, I was on Gay. Going straight, and the red light
coming from where Tiger Eggs was, or
coming from where Sneaky Pete's was, the hot dog place, like the Acre area, let's say. Oh,
headed towards Tiger Eggs.
Headed towards Tiger Eggs, yeah. Headed towards the Methodist Church. Head towards the Fiji House,
which looks insane now. But
yeah, the new Fiji House I've heard is very fancy. It's
crazy.
Not the way that it was. Not my house. I was stopped at that red light for a good 10 seconds. Long enough for everybody to know. We're stopped at a red light. All of a sudden, I just get plowed into the back of. Like, the car just does not stop. And just rams me from behind. We get out. I have a friend who is screaming. Friend Ben. He yells at a passerby who's just standing there minding his own business to call 911. I don't know why none of us could. He made that guy do it. Then he said, "You saw that. You saw everything. Call 911. So like five guys jump out of my car. And then out of this Honda Civic, I was driving a Chevrolet Avalanche at the time. Nice. Out of this Honda Civic that was totaled by running into the back of my car. This girl gets out in a Halloween costume and she does not look sober in by any stretch of the imagination or usage of that word. And we sat there for a good time. Police came over and took everybody's statement. My car was completely fine. So I just loaded up my car and kept on driving. Her car was undrivable.
Boy.
But yeah. I still think about that night because I'm like, man, I've never been run into at a dead stop before.
I have.
She was going 40 miles an hour, she said.
Well, that's what totaled her car.
It was wild. Yeah, she goes, "I think I was going 40 because I was going the speed limit." I was like, and the cop goes, "I think the speed limit's 35. But
did he tell her that she has the right to remain silent?
Yeah, and you know what, Ryan, you raise a good point. Don't ever speak to the police.
Yeah.
It's a good point. You don't have to. Anybody got anything else to say? I hope Auburn wins. I just want to read
one thing about Jabari Smith in the preseason against the Spurs: 21 points, 8 of 15 from the field, 5 of 8 from 3, 8 rebounds, and 2 assists.
All right,
Jabari's about to go off this year.
Yeah, he's going to go off, especially in some of these games where guys aren't doing a whole lot of defense because they're resting their legs. Like, the NBA's got a lot of those games.
Yeah.
And so there's going to be some times where Jabari gets to eat because guys are going to play 3 feet off of him. He's just going to shoot. So,
yeah.
I saw one of the clips. He had a pull up three because the guy was like not even defending him outside the 3-point line. I was that's he's just going to do that all game.
Yeah.
They do that.
Brian, have you ever seen a movie called Airheads?
I have eaten an Airhead before.
Hey, man, we're halfway there. No, the movie Airheads.
I used to do the thing where you get like a couple different colors and twist them together, make your own flavors. So it's pretty good.
I really would love Team for White. You to watch Airheads this week and give us a review.
Hang on, Crow, what was that?
Team White Airheads are the all best right. ones.
Oh, okay. I'm glad you added that on there.
Yeah. Also, Team White Ranger.
Clip that soundbite.
Team White Ranger for the Power Rangers. He was my favorite.
Okay.
He's also the Green Ranger. Same guy. Yeah.
Did you like him as the Green?
Not as much as the.
Well, he's a tiger. He's a white tiger.
But I did have a green. I had the dagger that was also a flute to win.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. For everyone at home, Crow was miming playing a flute there.
Because you called the dragon.
He looked like Lizzo over there.
Yeah. Like Lizzo.
Brian, your homework this week, go find Airheads, watch it. It's great. It's fantastic. Find
season one of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
I had a Power Rangers game on Super Nintendo. It was one of the first video games I ever played.
Yeah.
It was a fun one.
It had as good of a plot as the television program did.
I played like the first two or three levels just over and over because that's all I knew how to do. And then it got harder after that.
I tried to rewatch. Five,
so.
I watched season one. I watched season one and season two of Power Rangers on Netflix a couple of years ago.
Did you?
And they shoot every scene in the same clearing in Echo Park, Los Angeles. Every single one. Like every outdoor scene is shot in the same spot. I may be wrong. A lot of it shot in Japan.
Yeah, a lot of it was a different show.
Yeah.
Basically anything where they are in the suits.
Yeah.
It was a different show. And then all the other stuff is where they're not in the suits was shot, you know, just in some parking lot, as Chris said.
In Los Angeles. A friend of mine I was watching it with was like, I used to live across the street from I don't know what this is.
Friend of the pod. Ken on here to help us get over some
power. Yeah, Rangers I'm not a power. Content. I'm not actually not a Power Rangers guy. That's why I aged out.
You more of a Ninja Turtles.
Big into the Turtles.
Yeah, I was a Ninja Turtles P1. Yeah.
Transformers, Thundercats, that sort of thing. By the time
Thundercats.
By the time Power Rangers rolled around, I thought it was too cool for it. Even though it has an element of something that I love in a TV show where, like, things come together to form one big thing. It's like a big... I love
Voltron.
It. Yes, Voltron I love. Ryan, Voltron was a show from the 80s.
Where, it was a cartoon that just was Power Rangers, but...
Yeah, more or less. Yeah. The Devastator from Transformers, which is all the Constructicons that came together to form the thing that I love.
Was Shia LaBeouf in that show? Or?
No.
Megan Fox? No.
You know the most unbelievable part of the Transformers film franchise is? Not that there are robot aliens who are fighting a war on our planet, but that Megan Fox falls in love with the Shia LaBeouf character in that.
Yeah.
That is more unbelievable than
anything. Have you seen his actual wife? Because that is, it's this statement still follows.
Yeah.
Because the
Decepticons. The Transformers cartoon movie is infinitely better than the...
Well, it's completely unrelated to the TV show, and it stars Orson Welles.
It's so good.
It's crazy.
And Optimus dies, spoiler alert, and like as a child, I remember watching and being like, this is one of like my favorite things is now dead.
I thought we were going to recommend this for the the listeners to do on Saturday instead of watch the game.
You know what? They should do it. I think the entire thing is on YouTube. Ryan, add that.
It was on Netflix somewhat recently. I have my own personal copy, of course.
Sure, of course. On Blu-ray.
I don't have the Blu-ray. I do need to get the Blu-ray. I have the I just have it in digital format.
Sure.
Ryan, I'm trying to see if you can where you can watch Airheads. I really want you to watch this movie.
Look it up, Chief. Look it up.
Oh, it looks like it might be on Prime Video. Do you have Prime Video?
I have a Prime member, yes.
All right. Oh, let's watch trailer.
You got the.
Oh boy, it looks like it might be a Stars thing. Come on.
Don't have that.
The best song, maybe theme song ever from an 80s movie is from the animated.
I was gonna
you got the touch.
Jack plays us out.
Bam. You got the power. That song rules. All right.
Can we just fade out on that?
You guys have a War Eagle weekend.
Okay.